Welcome to Conscious Curiosity SD, where successful San Diego leaders share their stories of leading beyond profit and are using the influence of business to positively change the companies and communities we all work and live in. I'm your host, Jeff Blanton from Jailbreak Leadership, a proven powerful process for unlocking the full potential of the teams across your organization. We facilitate strategic planning, ensure project teams deliver results on time and on budget, and we enhance teamwork by turning problems into possibilities. We want to thank our collaborative community of San Diego business organizations, the Better Business Bureau, Conscious Capitalism, Business for Good, Beat Loco, and Cause San Diego. We're all focused on impacting the community of San Diego through the work they do as business leaders. Welcome to the show. Running a business is challenging. Where can you go as a business leader to get help and support you need, not only to help ensure your success, but also have the impact that you're looking for as a leader? Well, look no further. We have the man with all the answers right here today in the BBB Ignite podcast room. Chris Thorne, welcome to Conscious Curiosity SD.
Thank you very much. I was scared to start off by saying has all the answers. Ooh, that's a scary baseline.
Yeah, a little pressure for you. Right? You got this. I'm not worried. Because Chris is the CEO of the North San Diego Business Chamber. Chris was named the 2024 CEO of the Year for Business Nonprofit, and 5 years running has been listed as one of the 500 most influential people here in San Diego. That's a pretty big accomplishment right there.
Well, it's we're lucky to have an amazing community of business leaders and community leaders, and I just really feel privileged to be able to be part of that community of the area.
Well, I just love the idea of the whole chambers, though, because you guys are kind of working in that space of community and business and trying to make some things happen. Excited to explore that today.
Well, let's talk. I'm excited to share all I can.
So let's start with that. Maybe tell us a little bit about what the chamber does, what you guys are trying to accomplish here.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, chambers of commerce are actually global organizations. Every nation on the face of the planet that has international trade has a chamber of commerce as a representative of the business organizations and that trade within the nation. Different setups on it, but it's certainly there, a different size. Here in the United States, we have a little over 7,500 various chambers of commerce spread across the United States, representing everything from small local communities up through regions like us, representing states, and then, of course, there's the national entity. None of that is hierarchical. Each is its own independent organization and with its own independent membership.
So you're not part of some larger
U.S. chamber, which is the national body. We are members of it, just like other businesses, and there's a chamber for the state of California, and we are members of that. But again, that's not a hierarchical reporting chain. It's just a how do we collaborate and make the most effective use. Those chambers of commerce writ large across all of those really serve the purpose of connecting business leaders, advocating for business, and then creating communities. Different communities, what that might look like, but it's all about really bringing people together and amplifying voices, and that's what chambers do. Here in San Diego, we are blessed. There's a little over 30 different chambers of commerce across County of San Diego.
Oh, I didn't know. I knew there's a few. I'm aware of some. I didn't realize there were 30. But
well, yeah, and that you know represents amazing chambers that are city specific. So Carlsbad, Oceanside, Vista, San Marcos, Escondido, Chula Vista, you know, Santee, all across the area, there are those. And those chambers have amazing relationships, usually with the mayor and the city council in that city. Absolutely. Yeah. So they can be the most impactful for things like helping businesses with business licensing or permitting issues or really connecting at that level. And that's an amazing thing that they do. We tend to work more as a countywide or regional chamber of commerce, which means we don't try to influence policy at a specific city level. We tend to work more with the county board of supervisors, the state elected delegation, and then the federal elected delegation from San Diego to help do that. But also that gives us the opportunity to bring businesses together from around the entire region. So if you're a small business leader in Chula Vista, we want to have the opportunity to connect you to a small business leader in Vista because the two of you might end up doing business together, supplier, vendor, retailer, whatever it may be. That allows us to sort of broaden and diversify. You know, likewise, different chambers have different focal areas that they are trying to amplify for their membership. Some of those that I mentioned, the individual city chambers, obviously are trying to amplify the focus within that city for the businesses and for the city itself. There are other that are focused around specific areas, the Asian Pacific Islander Chamber of Commerce, the Black Chamber of Commerce, sort of those affinity group correlations where those who have other affinity correlations to each other come together around business and helping to amplify. And those are spectacular. Regional chamber, we are focused on the business community, but we tend to have a significant focal impact on our small and medium business community. And that's something we really enjoy the opportunity to help amplify their voices, those small and medium business owners who oftentimes can't break through the noise to have their opinions heard on significant issues, being able to do that, but also being an organization that can be focused on building a community, not just a business community, but we thrive in business when the community thrives. We thrive in business when our employees are thriving, and our employees thrive when they can live in a region with affordable housing and access to childcare and good schooling for their families and safety for their families and for their loved ones in the area, and a community where they can have enrichment and to be able to go to parks and museums and things like that. And so we want to help a thriving community and know that business thrives from that one. So we try to contribute back to the community writ large through different things that we do that really connect our business community back to our larger communities.
So maybe any specificity, it's easy for me to say, maybe like talk about maybe some of the programming that you guys do. And
yeah, I'll try not to go too long. You know, it's kind of funny. We do a monthly, we call it Your Chamber 101, kind of a chamber orientation. And every month when we do that, my team sort of goes over, here's the regular recurring list, monthly, quarterly, annual. And when they do that, comes out to about 140, 150 different events. Wow. Through the year. Last year, as we were wrapping up our fiscal year, I was curious, though, to sit down and say, okay, well, what about the non-recurring, the one-offs, or ribbon cutting for a new business, or welcoming somebody through a different fashion? And when I sat down and did that, came out to a little over 730 different, wow, unique, specific events. So that said,
how big is your crew?
It's a team of five that does all of that, which is an amazing team. And I promise you, I can't pay them anywhere near what they're worth, but I can love them to death for what it is they do. You know, we could go on for a very long time on the myriad of that, but, you know, we come down to some of the basic recurring every month things that we do. You know, every chamber of commerce, bringing people together. So you have to have your networking event. If you're not having a networking event, I'm not sure you're an actual chamber of commerce.
You don't qualify then, right?
I think it's somewhere written in law. I don't know. So we have our monthly networking event. We call it Regional Connect. It usually brings together 150 to 175-ish that come together each month. We move it around the counties to different locations. That way it's accessible different times of the year to people in different parts of the county. That also creates new communities for people to connect with. When they show up at one, then they come to the next one, there will be some different people for them to meet and connect with, and we love doing that one. So we have a lot of fun on that. We also have each month set of what we call advisory councils. We have seven of them, and they are communities of interest led by our chamber members in conversation around the topics that they're focusing on. And when we do things like legislative advocacy, they are the ones who have the discussions around the policies and make the decisions for direction that we as a chamber will take. And so we have one of those advisory councils, our legislative and government affairs, is focused purely on that. We have one that's focused on health issues for our employers, our employees, and our community, so our health advisory. We're a huge military community in the area, and so we have a military affairs advisory council, and those are all a lot of fun. But then we go into some other areas that we know that our nonprofit community is hugely important. We have somewhere around 100 nonprofit organizations as members of the Chamber of Commerce, and so we have a nonprofit advisory council that comes together and talks around that. We know that cyber, tech, AI, these are all massive developments in community of business leadership and management moving forward. So we have a cyber and technology advisory council talking about policy changes, upcoming developments and implementation on that. We also know that we live in a region where sustainability is a key function of our existence, as we are as people, as we are as a community, as we are as businesses in the community. Living and thriving sustainably is what we do in San Diego. And so we want to help advance businesses think about sustainability as just an organic function. So we have a sustainability advisory council, and we love that's a great one to really have conversations. But then we have another one that's focused on our emerging leaders, making sure that our young emerging talent are able to connect, network, and have professional development outside the boundaries of just their workplace. And so we have an emerging leaders advisory board.
So, I love that, yeah.
Every one of those meets every month to have conversations around the topics that they drive, that they feel are important. And so that's just kind of a monthly cycle.
And last year I attended an event over at Liberty Station, if I remember correctly, that you guys put on, an all-day affair.
That was – so as we move through that, then we get on to – we have – every quarter we do one thing I really love. It's called our Small Business Forum. I mentioned our focus on small business. So we do a lunch and learn once a quarter that's all about our small business. And it's a small group, usually in the 40 to 50 range there, but the topics are all about – the small business, not just small business topics. It can be large business topics, but talking about them from small business management. So when we talk about, digital marketing, if I'm talking about a business with 750,000 more people in there, well, digital marketing is done very differently than it is at a small business, a mom and pop, or someone with a shop of 10 who it's the owner who's trying to figure out digital marketing, right?
So that's the problem. The owner's trying to figure it out.
Exactly.
So that's the problem right there.
So when we do small business forum, we want to talk about those topics at the level of how that small business leader does. And so we bring in people, but the thing that I really love about it is instead of us telling the small business leaders, here's the topic that matters, come listen. Instead, we do it a little bit differently. Each quarter, as we wrap up that event, we have the small business leaders in attendance tell us what the important topic to them for the next quarter is, and then that's what sets it. So they're the ones telling us this
don't,
is
don't
what,
assume, yeah.
Absolutely. This is what we need to hear about, and then we bring the resources to the chamber to find those experts who can talk to us. So we love doing that. And then going to what you mentioned, our annual, our annual events are truly our return to community, give back to community, connect with community events. And so we have five large signature events we do each year. The one that you mentioned was the San Diego Military Summit, and that was in August of last year. It's actually moving to October, but it'll be October of this year at the Town and Country Resort, so make sure we get there. But San Diego Military Summit is really focused around the idea that obviously we have a huge military presence in the San Diego region, more than 200,000 active duty service members. Military connected individuals make up over 25% of our regional population. 25% of our regional economy is tied to defense and defense industry in one way or another. It's a huge thing here. So we want to make sure that we're creating a space where there's conversation for those service members and their families who are leaving the military to get connected to employment opportunities. We want to keep them that good talent here in San Diego, right?
That can be a tough transition for folks. Absolutely. So supporting that's really big, yeah.
Yeah, and of course, San Diego is a hard place to live if you don't have a good job lined up. And so we want to address that. We want to connect that. We want to make sure they've got that. But more than just a job fair, employment type thing, we want to make sure that we're connecting the community too. So we do an entire segment of the day, a track of the day. It's about employer enablement. So all those great employers who say, oh, I want to hire military people, but I don't know how to understand them. I don't know how to find them. I don't know how to interview them, read their resume. I don't know how to work with these federal programs, right? We do an entire track of the day that's all about helping our employers learn how to do it. So enabling that side. So we love the military summit. It's a great time. We do a few other things. We're coming up next month on our San Diego Business Summit. It's an annual multi-track all-day seminar session with some keynotes and breakouts that's focused on our business community. largely on our small business community, again, really looking to be impactful where we can, bring these conversations and learning together in a day of impact on there, and we enjoy that one. We also just wrapped up just a little over a month ago our annual San Diego Women's Week, and that is always anchored around International Women's Day, and it's a week of events focused on professional connecting and development for women. And that's not women as a DE&I source, that's women as a professional element that is 50% of our workforce, making sure that they have a community of conversation that brings them together. We love doing that for the region, not just for our chamber members, not just for the chamber, but really across the region. So we enjoy doing that. We're also coming up to our end of fiscal year. We have to have our awards celebration. So we always love doing, we call it our celebration of business, bring people together, do those awards, end of year awards for those great businesses across the region. This year, we're going to be doing it up at the San Diego Zoo Safari Park at their new Elephant Valley. So we're going to go out there and we're going to just cohort with the elephants up there and have a fun evening. And we like doing it a little bit different. You know, I think everyone's been to 20 or so of those events where over the last year where you put on a suit and you go and you sit in one of these hotel ballrooms and you get that same plate of chicken and spinach and asparagus that everyone else has had. And then
I was there Friday. I did one of those.
Right, exactly. We've all done that one, right? And, and you sit there staring across at a table that people you can't talk to because you're supposed to be quiet while they pour bad wine and somebody on the stage talks for entirely too long about something that you really aren't listening to. We try to do it a little bit different. We go up to a place like Elephant Valley, and we want people just to roam around, enjoy the environment, see the elephants, talk with each other, connect with each other. And when it comes time to give out awards, we'll have a stage. And if you want to come over and listen to that while we're doing that, great. If not, go on back over. There will be some great appetizers being served over on the other side and just enjoy the night out there. So we love doing that to bring community together. Probably the last annual signature event we do, which I truly love, is our Honoring Our Region's Heroes. It's an annual first responder awards. We partner with the county, the state, and the cities and federal agencies around the area to do awards to countywide first responders from all agencies, police, fire, EMS, again, federal, state, local, county, for things that they've done over the last year. And we do that as a breakfast, and it's just amazing when they come out there to hear the stories of bravery, the stories of commitment. And it's a great opportunity every year for our business community to give back to those who keep our community safe. And so we love doing that. So, like I said, I could unfortunately ramble on for entirely too long on this, but that's just a very small slice.
You're not bored, that's for sure, Chris. I appreciate it even more for having you come by the podcast here today. I didn't realize you had so many things going on.
It's a ton of fun, and we love to say no day is ever alike. It's just never the same thing twice, and that's one of the greatest parts of the job.
So give me a story. It's got all these things going on. Give me a story that, you know, how long have you been doing this?
So I took over just about 3 years ago.
Okay,
now.
So over the last 3 years, give me a story where, man, that one really got me. This is why I do what I do.
Oh, I could give you a million of them, but
just,
you know,
give me your best one.
Yeah, well, I mean, best ones. First responder awards are always the ones that hit you the deepest, right? I mean, last year, we had a CHP officer who, most people might have seen. It was about 3 years ago now, but he was executing a traffic stop on the I-8 and got into a hand battle with a suspect who pulled his gun and actually shot him in the head. He survived, thank goodness, but it was, it was just an amazing event of bravery at how he dealt with that and how others, bystanders as well as other first responders, dealt with that. And so being able to honor that was really, really incredible. But then there was, the story of the East County San Diego Sheriff's when, he executed a stop on a vehicle that ended up having fentanyl in it. And when he was going through the vehicle searching, he became exposed to the fentanyl in the vehicle and ended up inhalation overdosed on fentanyl just in doing a traffic stop.
Your job, yeah.
Yeah, right? And you know, just those. There was, you know, the story a couple years ago of the, I believe he was Escondido police during the floods when we had the heavy rains a couple years ago. And there had been somebody washed down a drainage channel up in Escondido area. And they were being, you know, washed away by the rapid waters. And he shimmied out on a drainage pipe under a bridge over those waters to reach down and grab this person as they were going by. And right, like it's just those.
Amazing what people are doing, yeah.
Yeah, it's those things.
We see so much negative news, yeah. You know, and somehow these acts of heroism somehow never quite make it to the front page. Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun getting to do that, but it's fun getting to honor our business community, our small businesses, our big businesses, those who are doing the good things that you never hear about, our nonprofits. So it's just, you know, back to that, what a chamber is. We're here to help make connections, build community, and amplify voices, and that brings it all back. Yeah. You know, how do we amplify the good that is happening while we amplify voices?
I love that. I mean, that's kind of the whole premise of this podcast, is to interview business leaders that are leading beyond profit, right? That they're actually doing some other things, and they might not have all the lingo or whatever of a conscious capitalism kind of folks or whatever, but it's like, oh, what are you doing? Oh, I'm doing this amazing thing. And my employees are like, I treat them like this, and I'm doing this in the community. I mean, there's so many of those companies out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I like to believe there's many more of them than the predatory ones that we usually hear about.
Yes. You know, it's kind of like society in general, right? It's the bell-sharp curve.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
It's the 10% over here that make all the noise, and the 10% over here that make all the noise. In the middle is all these people just doing some good work.
So. Amen to that. Amen.
Well, let's talk about you a little bit, Chris.
Oh, my.
How did you get into this business? What's your background?
I wish I could tell you I knew a linear map that actually brought me here, and I'm not sure that I want people to hear because they'll say he shouldn't be in that role. But
was it part of some grand plan you had since you were 12 years old or something?
It was not, as a matter of fact. So I was actually military. I was born and raised, grew up in Phoenix, and joined the Navy at a very young age, and ended up having a great career in the Navy, 30 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, absolutely. And across that time, ended up back here in San Diego a number of times, but moved back here to San Diego after being in Japan in 2000. We ended up in Carlsbad at the time, and kind of agreed, wow, this is a great place to plant the flag. Just a solid place to be, good house, good schools, good community, good weather. And so we did. We staked the flag down there, and when it came time to retire from the military, became part of the community here. And naturally, having lived in the area for upwards of 20 years, almost 20 years at that point, had the ability to really integrate to the community even during the military service, and that was spectacular. But after retirement, I went a few different directions on a number of things.
You're exploring.
As we all do, but ended up starting my own business. I happen to be an HR background person, which even worse, not only human resources, but labor law and compliance, and even worse than that, California labor law.
Oh, you're that guy.
You know, business tip number one, find something that everyone really hates but absolutely needs, and you can make a lot of money doing it. And that was the fun part for me, is figuring out that everyone hates that, but everyone needs it. And so it made for a really good business, and grew that business out. It was interesting.
But you had your own small business experience, right?
Absolutely.
So you can completely relate to the small businesses trying to do their thing out here.
100%. And as I was doing that, to me, it was important to be part of the community of business that I was operating within. And so I had actually looked for a chamber of commerce to join amongst, you know, those 30 plus in the region, many options, all great options. Interestingly, this chamber was the one that I actually settled on as a chamber member, and was proud to be a member of the chamber and contribute to some of the things like advisory councils and otherwise. As the business grew out, became great things with the business. One, my people got tired of having me around, told me to go find a hobby, I think. Really, also,
that's a good sign, Chris.
Also, you know, started having the opportunity to put a little more focus on what matters internally, right? What core matters to me. And so started spending more time in the nonprofit space, a lot of volunteering at first, but getting engaged with things that mattered to me through that nonprofit side to be able to give back on it. I loved doing that. And across that space of doing that, it led to an opportunity I just never could have dreamt of. Ended up working with a gentleman by the name of Gary Sinise, who I don't know if you're familiar with Gary. The name's not ringing a bell, most people, have you seen Forrest Gump?
The movie? Yes, yes, okay.
Lieutenant Dan.
Yes, right? Yes,
yeah,
yes, yes.
Yeah, so the actor, that most people know him as Lieutenant Dan, great actor, but he also has a foundation that supports our military community, first responders, grievously wounded. And I had the opportunity to end up working with him and his foundation in launching out a local presence here in San Diego and Southern California of his foundation and leading that up as the president of that and spent 3 years doing that. Honor of my lifetime for the mission that was, a spectacular, beautiful mission, but also was really, really impactful for me because Gary's an incredible, incredible person, an incredible human being, and he was committed, still is, I know, but committed to the idea that those who donate to his foundation are donating for a purpose to give to what it is. And he wanted to always make sure that the foundation was focused on providing the services and eliminating excess administration and overhead, really committed to financial responsibility and being the best that you can be in nonprofit community for everything. And the opportunity to learn from him and from those that he had running the foundation on a national level.
It's like a national.
It is. Yeah.
Quite large, yeah.
Absolutely. You know, it's very large, very, very significant sum money foundation. And so really, yeah, getting to work with that team to learn how to function, operate, be responsible, and manage in a nonprofit and still be effective, but do it in an ethical way, do it in a way that honors those who are sending the money in your in to do it. Just a huge amount of learning on that side.
It's a great training ground.
Absolutely. So from a nonprofit background, that was spectacular. I also will say that as I was running that, made sure that the foundation was also a member of a chamber of commerce, as I mentioned, nonprofit communities. And so, you know, as you can see over this time, getting some pretty deep roots into this chamber of commerce community out there, as the time to step away from the foundation came about, really was honestly almost surprised when somebody called me up and said that this chamber that I had been a member participant and active engager with for many years at that point, that the CEO at the time was ready to hang up her hat and retire, and the search committee was taking applications and looking for a prospective next and asked if I'd be willing to throw my name in the hat, and said, that's an interesting new dynamic I hadn't really thought about, but why not?
You still have the HR consulting business going at the same time?
Still, and it's out there doing its thing.
Still happening?
Absolutely, and bless their souls, they don't want me to have a damn thing to do with them, and I appreciate that for them. Yeah, and it really was, you know, I joke about it. I kiddingly say that as soon as they hired me, the board hired me as the new CEO, my first job was to talk to them about their faulty HR hiring practices, but how they came to that decision, I do not know, but it really was an honor. Stepping into that new role, of course, you know, finding out the community connections, the relations, the small business background, the nonprofit background, you know, obviously, I think
all together.
It did all fit together.
There was a grand plan, see, Chris?
Absolutely.
You may not have been in charge of it, that's all.
And so next thing you know, here I am running a Chamber of Commerce across San Diego County and loving every bit of it.
Oh, that's awesome. What a great story.
Probably too long of one.
Oh, it's excellent. It's excellent. So you and I got connected through the Social Innovation Internship Program that USD and Conscious Capitalism have been putting on.
Yep.
You're like on year two of this.
Yep. Yes.
So obviously it was working for you. So maybe share a little bit about that. Conscious Capitalism obviously is one of the organizations that's part of this podcast. And it's a great program they're putting on, really trying to address the youth. You know, you talked about that earlier. It's like, how do we help that next generation come along And the whole idea is, how do you bring them along with this whole kind of social mindset? So maybe speak a little bit to, like, why you got involved, how it's going, and what kind of projects are you working on with your interns?
Yeah, it's a, you know, it is year two of us working with them. I absolutely love the program. I think it's something that it's almost unbelievable to think about a group like Conscious Capitalism partnering with a great school like USD to be able to make a program like this accessible, especially to our small business community who otherwise may not be able to afford to have somebody come in and really be part of that to learn and grow, right? But it's incredible to see it. As a chamber, we've had a longstanding relationship with the University of San Diego and done a lot of great things in partnering with them, and we've appreciated that. So prior to last year's cohort, when I was told about this opportunity to participate in this internship program and asked if I'd be interested, we really looked at our San Diego Women's Week, an event that's not built around chamber itself. It's built around the community itself. It's built around the idea of how do we bring resources, people, and voices together to amplify and be able to help our community. While we're proud to put it on as the chamber, it's not a chamber event. It's a community event. And so we really enjoyed that. So we put in an application to have a student from USD come join us to help put that event on, help with the planning, help with the logistics, help with the production, help with the day of, help with evaluating, right? Talking with our folks who are there participating. What's impactful for them? What's missing for them? How can we be better? How can we really look at doing more and better next time out there? And so having that person come in to get experience in event management and nonprofit management, in day of execution type things, whether that's staging, lighting, camera, making sure speakers are mic'd up. I mean, all of those types of things. But then across and going into the really connecting to the community, what did it mean to people? What did they get from it? What was good? What was bad? And then to be able to wrap that up and look at it as a package of, from my fresh set of eyes, here's what I saw. Here's a package on how we can be more impactful next year. And so last year's intern who joined us for that was just incredible. She did an amazing job.
And the students we get in this thing are just unbelievable. Truly, it's like mind-boggling, to be honest with you. I meet them, I just go, oh my goodness, I know. The future is going to be okay if they all look like this.
I never worry about the future when I see our young people out there working. It's amazing. As a matter of fact, I'm just waiting for one of them to just kick me out of here and say, go away, we got this. But yeah, it was amazing. We really enjoyed that. And when the opportunity this year to have a second year of it came around, so, it's that idea that bringing students who are in school, getting their education and focusing, our intern, Maddie, she's finishing her MBA, right? So she's going to be a great business leader out there, but she's thinking about it from the perspective of we can do business while doing good, right? Now back to that conscious capitalism thing, right? This is how business thrives and flourishes when we're doing good for the community at the same time that we're doing good for the business community out there. It's funny. One of the things, we have a great chamber partner we work with, San Diego Community Power, if you're familiar with them.
Karen's been on the podcast.
Wonderful. Yeah. So when we first started working with them, they had asked, would you be willing to be one of our Power 100 champions, one of the businesses that take on the 100% renewable commitment side of it and all that. And when I sat down with them and we looked through the math of what that looked like, it was such a nominal, and I mean nominal, difference in what it was going to cost me to be able to go to 100% renewable on there. That it was neat. I mean, it was like, how is this even a question? Of course, yes, let's do this. And I loved being able to do that, but it also was the conversation I had with them about that's where the difference really, that's when we start really bending the curve and tipping the scale, is when business decisions are also conscious decisions. When sustainability is profitability, then that's when all of it just starts to change. And so I love that about this community, that people can come together around things like conscious capitalism and talk about how can we be sustainable? How can we be conscious? How can we be community-minded while still being profitable? Profit is not a bad thing. That's what keeps our businesses going.
Got to be profitable.
But we can do it in a responsible way that recognizes that the communities that we belong to are the reason that we're here.
Right. So the stakeholder model.
Absolutely.
The shareholder model, yeah.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Love it. So I love every bit of it, and I'm glad that we can be a part of it. Obviously, we're benefiting, but hopefully also being a champion and a cheerleader for it so that others can become part of it as well.
So I have a question for you.
Uh-oh.
Kind of in this world of radical uncertainty, I like to call it here.
Okay.
I actually stole from our CEO from Conscious Capitalism. So you think about what's happening with the whole AI transformation. I mean, that can be crazy. We got this whole macroeconomics issue going on now. We got a war going on. And we got all this kind of craziness with going on within the whole U.S. You're out here working with all these various business leaders. What's your advice or maybe one or two ideas you might have in regards to how do you deal with all this uncertainty?
Well, you know, the first one is I always try to take that step back, and it can be very, very easy and tempting to be drawn into the immediate swirl and churn, the daily media news cycle, the, you know, all of it. And those are all very, very real things. But on a large scale, just remembering that our nation, 250 years, has lived through chaos its entire time. Anybody who thinks there's been a time of calm is wrong.
That's right? A great point, Chris.
it has been 250 years of chaos. Different chaos at different times, but we have always found a way to find our way beyond that chaos, hopefully learn and get better, not always, but we still do continue on. So I start from that belief.
Rule number one, stop watching the news.
Probably true. But I do. I start by believing in that understanding that while we are in a period of unique chaos, chaos is not unique, and yes, we will endure that. Through it. I think the other thing that I try to always remember is that each one of our industrial revolutions or advances that has happened has been very scary, and it has taken something from somebody, but it has also created incredible opportunities. So, you know, the automotive revolution, obviously when that happened, it changed the way business happened. So the transportation, being able to move by locomotive, by truck, by all that, everything about that changed how business happened. It was those who thought early about, I can now use these automobiles and trains to set up supply chains that are more distant than the others and deliveries that go out, right? Somebody was innovative and creative and started the idea of warehousing and highway transportation, interstate highway transportation, intermodal transportation to be able to extend those. So it was an opportunity for somebody to create, and then they thrived on that. Same thing when the internet happened. Of course, you know, the fear, it's going to take jobs. And, you know, to some degree, there was that, but it was that moment of inflection when there were those who had the opportunity to say, this world is coming. I could be whipped by it, or I can be one of the leaders who innovates and comes up with the idea of what we are going to be in the next generation with this. So when I look at AI coming, as well as a few others, is it scary? Yes. Are people worried about some of the things? Of course. Do we need to have conversations around regulations? And 100%. But this is that opportunity moment. We are now at an inflection point that we rarely reach, where there is now the opportunity for the people who can to be the creators of the next generation of business. And those who can step back from the chaos, who can step back from the fear, who can step back from worrying about what we will lose, and can truly be creative thinkers about what we will gain and how to do that, are going to be the industrial leaders of tomorrow.
Oh, I love that.
And I think our young people are the ones who are most well-equipped for that one.
Just look for the possibility, right?
Always.
Always looking for the possibility.
Always.
Awesome answers. Love that.
Thanks.
Believe it or not, I got to put a little bow on this thing here. I always like to end with, what's the big idea? If people walked away from this podcast and didn't remember anything, what's the one thing you want them to remember?
You know, I think the one thing is business is community. To me, that is it. Whether you are part of our chamber, whether you're part of another chamber, whether you're part of a business association, whether you're part of a downtown partnership, whether you are part of any – business is community. And at the end of the day, if you remember the community that you are part of is the reason your business is there, then you are going to be successful. So business is community. Connections are where community comes together. Find the place to connect with your community and your business will thrive. That would be my one point.
Oh, I love that. That's some great advice right there. We tend to get like kind of a little box thinking, I think, too often, and thinking larger. Think about the whole community you're operating in. Be ready to give back and support that community. Good things are going to happen.
100%.
Chris, I appreciate you coming in today. You're doing some amazing work. Obviously, you're the top 500 influential leaders here in our community and CEO of the year kind of guy. I mean, you are making some big things happen here in our community of San Diego, so I love that, and thank you.
I appreciate you. Thank you for doing this. This is a great way to be able to really share conversations and stimulate thoughts, so I really appreciate you doing this.
Well, thank you. We'd love to get the story out. Well, that's our show for today, and if you enjoyed it, please subscribe, comment, and most importantly, share the podcast with a friend. Again, special thanks to our collaborative community of San Diego business organizations, the Better Business Bureau, Conscious Capitalism, Be Local, and Cause San Diego. We're all using the influence of business to positively impact our very own community of San Diego. I'm Jeff Blanton from Jailbreak Leadership saying, until next time, go do what you do. Go do what you do best, for we're all counting on you.